It's time to get nerdy, y'all.
A little bit of gaming history for you.
Something relevant in gaming and discuss our opinions on it.
Should we kick it out of here or should we kickstart it?
This is the part where you, the listeners, try to stump the hosts.
I'm not a lawyer, I just play one on a podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020, and you know what that means. It's time to get nerdy, y'all. Welcome to episode number 142 of Two Nerds in a Pod, the nerdiest video game podcast in the galaxy. I am Lom, also known as Mr. Nice Guy, and I've got my comrade in gaming commentary here with me, the Miggity 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 Mac, also known as Maction. Mac, it has been a rough week for the world, but let's just talk, you know, lighthearted for a minute before we get to the nitty gritty. What's been going on in your life, man?
It was an interesting weekend. Hard to escape some of the craziness. But the missus and I did our best. We watched some things. We played some games. I got invited to participate in a pilot episode of a podcast.
What? That's what's up.
Yeah, it was patterned after a British panel show, and I was not good at it. I did not get very many points, although if we were playing golf, I would have potentially won.
That's staying positive. I like it.
Yeah,
staying positive.
I was very thrilled to be thought of, honestly. It wound up being a thing where Metz girl, fellow podcaster, player of TTRPGs, and delightful friend invited me to basically last minute sub in on this thing, and yeah, we had a pretty fun time. So that definitely stood out as a kind of a great highlight of the weekend.
Nice, man. That's cool. Love getting you on bonus podcasts. I will tune in if that ever goes live.
Yeah,
sometimes pilots never see the light of day is all I'm saying.
It's true. You've got to, you know, hope for the best, expect the worst with those kinds of things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Mac, you know what? My life has been interesting as a black man in America, and we will talk about that a little bit later. We've talked, and we want to let the viewers know we're going to kind of do things a little bit out of order today. And so, Mac, why don't we let you get started?
Certainly. We'll start things off with video game history this week. So let's talk about what cool things have gone on this last week in years before. And we'll start chronologically. 1991 in Chicago at the Consumer Electronics Show, because back in those days there was a summer Consumer Electronics Show. Sony announced the PlayStation console, the joint venture between Sony and Nintendo. They announced that both cartridges and discs will be played on the PlayStation console, notably PlayStation, two separate words, that it will cost $400 when they finally release it. So exciting stuff. Of course, we know that turned out a little bit differently.
Yes, yes, indeed.
But for a brief moment in time, there, people in Chicago were introduced to that excitement. We also, in 1993, saw the release of the Super Mario Bros. Film.
Oh, fantastic film. Very, very true to form.
Very true to the subject matter. You know, it had Goombas, it had King Koopa, it had Ba-Bombs, it was fantastic. John Leguizamo was there. Much delight was had. And in spite of it costing 45-ish million to make that film, it only brought back about 20 million in sales.
That's not how you want it to go.
Yeah, it definitely isn't. And poor nerd next door desperately wanted to see that in theaters. It was not good, in case you do or don't remember it. I think I have it on DVD, as a matter of fact.
I do too. It's one of those movies you own just to say you have it. You know, maybe you'll bust it out once every 5 years, but it's not a good movie.
Yeah, no, it's objectively a bad movie. And not surprising that it didn't, you know, that it didn't make half of what it cost. But also, of note, in 1993, in this week in history, Sega began the rating system for video games. Now, they were kind of seeing the way things were moving. Naturally, later on, in December of 1993, we would have those congressional hearings on video game violence. So in June of 1993, Sega, kind of seeing the way the wind was blowing, said that they were going to establish, and this is when they announced that they were establishing the rating system. And they started with three ratings. GA for general audiences, MA-13 for mature 13 and up, and MA-17 for, you know, mature 17 and up. Those were the three ratings, and that's what the rating system started off with back then. So yeah, definitely kind of cool. And then I think, because I mentioned Super Mario Bros., a film that is objectively bad, I thought maybe we should let Disney try again in 2010 with the Prince of Persia film. Now this one,
oh yeah,
I thought it was actually pretty all right.
I did too, man.
Yeah, and I bought this one, not on a lark, but as a legitimate, hey, I thought this was good in theaters. I took a couple of people with me to watch it for second and third viewing, so I saw it multiple times in the theaters.
Oh, wow.
But it cost $150 million to make. It brought in $336 million. So
that's how you do it. That's how you do it.
Yeah, so it is, you know, I think that one was probably not a flop. And I don't recollect where it comes in the hierarchy of video game movies v. video game flops, but I think it's one of those early ones, because I want to say that the Resident Evil movie was really the first video game movie that kind of turned things around, but it wasn't so much for me. But Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, heck yes, that was my jam.
My wife and I watched that one on our honeymoon.
Get out of town!
We wanted to go see a movie. That one was playing. I was like, yo, video game movie. She was like, yo, awesome. We saw it. It's a great movie. We still own it. We still watch it every once in a while. Great
nice.
Movie.
Remind yourself of those happy times, freshly married on the
that's
honeymoon.
Right.
Oh, man.
That's right.
That's fantastic.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Tomb Raider.
Classic.
Ishmobile might have a point that Tomb Raider might have been the first video game movie to turn things around. Thank goodness that this is not the Nerdflex segment. Thank goodness this isn't the question. Otherwise, we would be in a rough spot.
That's right.
But those are just a few things from this last week in the past that I thought maybe we should relive a little bit of that sweet, sweet history. So that's all for you.
All right, y'all. So we switched things up. Max started with history. Today, I'm going to combine the news segment with the topic of the week, and we're going to go into kind of a deep dive on things that have been going on in America, just to jump right in with the murder of George Floyd. We've seen a lot of that on the news. We've seen, you know, Ahmaud Arbery. We've seen Breonna. And many others, and how it relates to games, how it relates to my life as a black content creator, and whatnot. So I'll jump right in. Sony sent out a tweet this week where they said that they were going to postpone their presentation of the PlayStation 5 conference and the games that are going to come out, because they wanted America to be able to focus on more important things, specifically the many of us, actually all of us, who are mourning the death of George Floyd, even though we did not know him, but he died at the hand of a police officer. He was murdered at the hand of a police officer. And so they took a step back. Wizards of the Coast did the same thing. The people who make Call of Duty did the same thing. Many, many other companies have done the same thing and issued statements. And so I just kind of wanted to address this. We say we're not a political podcast. We say that we don't get into that, but this is a social issue to me, right? We're not going to debate right and wrong. We all know this was wrong. But I wanted to give my perspective as a black guy, as an African-American male. So let's dive right in. Caucasian friends of mine often ask me, you know, when these things happen, what can we do? And I feel like for white people, there's two things you can do. The first thing you can do is you can either speak up, you can use your platform, you can use your privilege to say something. And the other thing you can do is you can listen. You can do one of those two things, or you can do both of them. You can get my perspective, and learn from it, or you can, you know, say, hey, this is wrong and I want to speak about it. So with that as a backdrop, I want to give Maxion a pass. He can choose to do whatever he wants. And Mac is white, in case y'all didn't know.
painfully white is the correct term.
You know what? You said it. I didn't say it. I guess my point is I don't want Mac to feel pressured to say anything if he doesn't feel comfortable. But he's doing his part by listening and by allowing us to share this platform, or use our shared platform to discuss this. So let's start with something positive. Today's Blackout Tuesday. I want to highlight a few black content creators that I think everyone should check out because their voices aren't heard as much as they should be. The first is Khalil Jenkins, who does the Spawn on Me podcast, where he is constantly promoting, you know, content creators of color. Now, Khalil, I don't know if you'll ever hear this. He has not hollered at your boy yet to get a spot on the pod or to be highlighted, and that's okay. You know what? There's time for him to figure that out. But in all seriousness, he makes really great content, and I think you guys should check him out on Twitter. Check him out on podcast services. Spawn on Me is the name of his podcast. The other person who's a podcaster is Blessing Adeoye Jr. He is a producer on one of my favorite content networks, Kinda Funny. He's on a podcast called PS I Love You, which is one of my favorite podcasts about the PlayStation. Really, really unique voice, really, really articulate, really intelligent and educated in games. A couple others, there is, for those of you who like TTRPGs, there is a new one coming out called Swordsfall, and it is an Afropunk role-playing game. The Kickstarter for it just went live today. It looks like it's going to be very, very good, and I've started following and interacting with them on Twitter, so feel free to check that out. And the last one is a comic strip that I really like called Beware of Toddler by Geo Gant Art. But if you just look up Beware of Toddler, you can find it. Black content creator. He does comics from the perspective of a black father with his daughter in them, so it's good. So, Mac, I wanted to do that to start. And let me just, I will ask you one question.
Sure.
And this is not one that's like a pressure-filled question. But, I mean, Sony's taking a step back this week. Wizards of the Coast taking a step back. Call of Duty suspending or postponing Season 4 of their game because of this murder of George Floyd. Do you think that they should have maybe gone ahead with those things because they give us some relief from the news, from the rioting, from all that's going on? Or do you think they made the right call? What are your, and honestly, there's no wrong answer to this. What are your thoughts?
You know, I'm of two minds. On the one hand, I understand why they would do that sort of thing, because they don't want to have any of their announcements or their stuff cluttering, if you will, up the social media channels or anything like that. They don't want to seem like they're taking away from what's going on right now and from the attention on what's going on right now. But at the same time, like you said, maybe distraction is something that some of us need.
And that's my thing, is on the one hand, yes, very respectful, take a step back, you know, let us mourn the death of this gentleman who we did not know, but who we care about this. But at the same time, video games for me are an escape, right? Like, yeah. I'll give you an example. Last night I started replaying The Last of Us because The Last of Us Part 2 comes out this month. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't play it because it was too close to home. And I think Spenis had said this to me once before. Like, in the beginning of the game, it's a pandemic. It's a global pandemic. People are running around looting. There's fire. And then within the first 5 minutes, the military in the game guns someone down who is unarmed. And like, when I got to that point, I was like, yo, this is not an escape for me right now. I need to turn this off and just go watch some TV. So I turned it off. Here's what I'll say. It is always uncomfortable for me as a black person who has somewhat of a platform. A lot of my friends, you know, on Facebook and in person, they know me as a comedian. They know me as someone who's funny. And that's all I really post about on Facebook. I don't really like Facebook. But I had to take a step back and I had to say, listen, I'm black and I'm unapologetically black, and I need to let my friends and family, you know, church family, you know, real life family who's also black, I need to let them know how I feel about this. I need to say something. I cannot sit here and be silent and tweet, you know, PlayStation, LOL, what's going on with that? Like, it's not a time for jokes. It's not a time for one-liners. I had to give my perspective. And so I hope that anyone who's in a position, you know, no matter how big or small your platform is, I hope that if you feel comfortable, that you will say something. And Mac, I'll get a little deep, and I hope this doesn't make you uncomfortable. If it does, too bad.
Yeah, if it does, that's on me, not on you.
The hardest part about this, and I posted this in my Facebook post, is, you know, I have to teach my kids about this. You know what I mean? The first time that I ever, and I won't say the word on our pod, but the first time anyone ever called me the N-word, I was in third grade. I mean, that's not that old. That's very young to be experiencing something like that. And right now, my oldest son is about to go into third grade. And so, I mean, it's a very real possibility that he will have to deal with that type of stuff, you know, this coming school year. Not that there's a set age when racism starts, but you get what I'm saying. And so, you know, I have to sit him down. I have to have this conversation. I have to tell him how to react. I have to let him know that, you know, police are there to do good things, but a lot of times they're not doing good things. I have to think, Mac, about when I buy my kids phones so that they can record injustices that may happen to them. Like, and it's just not a fun thing. And I don't want to be a downer on the pod, but we would be remiss if we did not talk about this. And so I just wanted to put that out there. And that's really what I have. And like I said, Mac has no pressure to comment further. But if you do have something to say, you are more than welcome to, Mac. If not, we can absolutely move on.
Sure. I won't pretend to have any eloquent words of my own to share. So I'm going to just borrow some words from Mrs. The Mac, who said that, you know, there are more people of color in America than there are Canadians in Canada. Just to put it into perspective, the types of things that go on right now, that are going on, that have gone on, the type of injustices that have been targeted directly to one group of people within America. If we were targeting Canada, this would be declarations of war. But it's not because they're domestic, but because they're right here and their people are spread out in cities, and that somehow makes it less ignoble, which is, well, anyway, just some food for thought. That's all I've got, man.
I appreciate it, man. And I guess I'll wrap up. In relation to gaming, I saw a lot of people tweeting at Sony, color content creators of color, saying, listen, if you're going to tweet out a statement saying that you care about us, and if you're going to postpone your PlayStation 5 thing, then start giving us access to games so that we can cover them. A lot of Black content creators feel like they're not given access by Sony. And so this is the time, it's been the time, but especially now, it's time for one, people to put their money where their mouth is. And it's time for people to step it up and stop talking about diversity and inclusion in the games industry, in the financial services industry, in whatever industry, and actually start putting qualified people into the positions that they deserve, that they've been fighting for so long. You know, it shouldn't take death for us to get this done. And I will say this, I'm not anti-police. I am absolutely not anti-police. But they have had decades to get this figured out. And it needs to get figured out. And it's not my responsibility. It's not people of color's responsibility. It's theirs. And, you know, we can collaborate. You know, you can put people of color on the board to have these discussions, but it's their responsibility. And I wish everyone the best. I'm not an advocate of violence at all. But we've got to get this figured out. And I agree that it was the right decision for Sony and for Wizards of the Coast and everyone else to postpone their stuff. Mac, that's what I had to say. That has been our topic of the week. Thank you so much for your support in the chat and your comments. I do see all of it, even though I can't read through all of it. But Mac, that's it for that.
All right. Let's talk about a crowdfunding project that's getting off the ground, and I feel a little bit sad that I did not pick up on that TTRPG that you mentioned earlier. because I think that would be cool. I did come prepared with something else, but if you think we should highlight that TTRPG instead, I'm all for that.
No, let's do your thing, absolutely. I'll tweet out the TTRPG later.
First, just a quick update. Vernal Edge, which we talked about last week. Matt, the lead guy on the development, he responded to last week's episode, and he tweeted back at us a photo of the Perler that I had sent him and said that he still has it. So,
oh, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, so that was a very, that was a very heartwarming and great moment for me. And also they broke that 50% mark, so they're still going. We wish them the best of luck. But what we're going to talk about today is called Aztec Empire. I'll go ahead and drop a link in the chat.
I'm excited.
Aztec Empire is basically Civ, Age of Empires. It's one of these building games where you try and build up a towns and civilization, isometric viewpoint, some cool pixel art, and it's set in Aztec history, made by a group of devs out of Germany. Some important things about it: they're going for $22,250 to fully fund their game. They have 28 days left to go. If you are looking to get a copy, $17 will get you a digital copy for delivery in January/early 2021. The alpha/beta release is expected to go live next month. So if you do back at a slightly higher level, which is like $25, and get access to the alpha beta, you'll have the full playable game in alpha beta version next month to work with. It does have a playable demo.
Do you like that it has a playable demo?
Does that
annoy you? I've got to know.
You know, I'm of two minds, Mr. Nice Guy. On the one hand, I mean, who can be bothered with all these demos all the time? If everybody's slinging them my way, I mean, what's going on? But on the other hand, if there is a playable demo, it does show you that a group of people that you're about to put your money down for can bring together all of the elements of a video game.
It's a valid point. Valid point.
And I'm glad you brought it up, because it's important to yeah. I would say I like the playable demo aspect. as for the team, I did find the artist, the lead artist. He worked on CrossCode, so he does have some stuff. And the lead programmer on the team has worked on a few different games before, going as far back as 1996. But no video games that I've played before, so I couldn't really offer much on that. As for the demo, though, it's pretty all right. It does some things that I feel like it doesn't explain too especially well, but all of the things that I can say about it that didn't really appeal to me in the demo, I feel like are things that are going to get ironed out in the development process, you know? There's nothing in there that makes me think that they can't make a good game. So, yeah. Now, of course, some of the controls are not exactly, some of the controls are not exactly great. Some things definitely to be improved. And there is one aspect of this, SimCity is what I was thinking. And there is one aspect of this game that I did not particularly enjoy, and that is, as I was trying to play through, I was playing through the first town, and I kind of built out in such a way that it didn't really, that I wasn't really able to get done what I needed to, and ran kind of out of space, and there was no real option to bulldoze buildings and to rebuild, and there was no real option to, move around, landscape, cut down trees and such, I couldn't really build on that. So it was one of those things where I got maybe 20, 30 minutes in, and then I was just like, oh man, I can't effectively grow anymore. And, you know, oh, I didn't realize how important having the road right here would be, you know, those sorts of things. And it was difficult for me to rectify it. So,
gotcha.
But again, all of those things are the types of things that you can improve over time through the alpha and the beta. And no, Ishmobile, I'm not saying that the Aztecs had or should have bulldozers. I'm saying that there deserves to be within the game's framework some way for you to recover from missteps. And who knows, maybe it's in there, but I just didn't realize that there were the controls. You know, that's perfectly, if that's the case, that's on me. But overall, I think that the demo has lots of potential. It looks great. And yeah, it played pretty darn well. It played very smoothly on my system as well. So enough of me talking. What do you think about it?
I don't know, man. There was a time when I was really into this. In high school, I really, really liked Age of Empires. I loved that game. And then, you know, I guess a kind of similar game is like a StarCraft, right? So in college, yeah. I got into World of Warcraft and a little bit of StarCraft. But I feel like I've just passed the point where this is my thing. Mm. And I feel like this type of game is the type of game that always has a really, really, really long lifespan. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, I don't know that we need a new one, you know?
Okay.
I feel like the audience that likes this type of game has the one that they've been playing for a decade and they're into that. And so I question if there's always room, there's always space at the table, right, to succeed. Mm-hmm. But I question if this is something that's really wanted in the genre, you know, because the people who make these games are some of the best in the business. But, you know, it's cool to see the small guys try. That's really my stance on it. Kickstarter's made well. I like that they have tons of social media at the bottom. So you can connect on whatever platform you're on, you know, whether it be Twitch, looks like they have a Discord, and some other stuff. But other than that, man, I don't know. I'm kind of lukewarm on it. I like the price tag, though.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. For my part, it really appealed to me, and I like what they're doing. I like the price point. Well, I'll put it this way. I'm a little bit hesitant on account of the fast turnaround. Having the game ready to go quarter one, you know, January of 2021 seems a little bit fast. But I mean, maybe they're just that far along in development. And especially if they're ready for alpha beta, next month, that's a pretty darn quick turnaround.
Yeah, no, it is a quick turnaround. And, I always hate being critical on people who are like pursuing their dream because yeah. It's just not a nice thing to do. But I feel like just looking at it from a business perspective, those were my criticisms. So that's where I'm at with it.
What do we think? It's time to weigh in. And you as well, who are here with us live or after the fact, weigh in. Should this be kicked out of here or should it be kickstarted? And I'm going to say kickstart. For all of the struggles that I had with the demo, I can see the good there. And I feel like this is something I would like to play when it's finished.
Yeah. I'm going to have to say kick, man.
Okay. So a kick from Mr. Nice Guy, a kickstart from me, Rolf and Ishmobile are with me, and you've got Mets Girl on your side, so...
Good job, Mets Girl. Fist bump.
So it looks like we are divided on this one. Again, as with anything we talk about on Kick or Kickstart or on this show in general, we wish them the best. We hope that their crowdfunding is successful. We got another kick, so it is truly a divided chat, a 50-50. But we do wish these guys best. Growing seeds, good luck on Aztec Empire, and we hope to see a finished game from you in first quarter of 2021. But that's been Kick or Kickstart.
Awesome. Well, now it is time for Nerdflex.
Woohoo!
A segment where we ask trivia questions. I'm totally messed up with my introductions today. A segment where we answer some trivia questions, and sometimes you even try to stump us in the chat. Now, I have some trivia questions here ready to go, but we always like to give the audience the opportunity to come up with a few, type them in the chat, preferably multiple choice, and we'll try to answer those towards the end. But for now, let's get to some of these questions. Mac, I'm using the test bank again, my man.
Okay.
I hope that this is okay.
Yeah, it absolutely is. That's what it's for. And like Mr. Nice Guy was saying, if you guys have trivia questions, we will take the first couple that we see in the chat, and in the meantime, go for the test bank.
Exactly. Awesome. And I'm glad you liked the singing, Nerd Next Door. Appreciate that. All right, so first question, Square Enix question. What color hair does Hitman's Agent 47 have?
What color, what color hair does...
Yeah. Now, I think I know this one because I am like 100% sure that he's bald.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
But I don't know if this is like a trick question.
Oh, does he... Oh, well, maybe he's got like facial hair, right? Does he like ever have facial hair? And then we can be like, oh, well, that's his hair color. Or what are his eyebrows? He's got to have eyebrows.
He probably does, but I know he's like blatantly bald.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, I'm pretty sure black if they're looking at eyebrows, but once again, this is one of those questions where I don't know what they're looking for.
Yeah.
But I know he's bald, and I feel like that's the answer that it's probably looking for. So should we just go with bald, Mac?
Tell you what, you say he's bald, I'll say he's got black hair, and one of us will be right.
One of us will be right. All right, so I'm going to go in with bald. Let's flip it. Oh, my gosh. I just went to a different one on accident. Dude, I always do this. Why don't we just Google real quick? My gosh. So what am I supposed to... Oh, you press that to...
Yep.
I pressed the wrong one. Double face palm. But people in the chat are also saying that he's bald.
Yeah, it's true. But don't worry, we'll cut this in post. No one will know of our shame.
Yeah. He's bald. Hey, Mac, we got it right. He's
sweet.
Bald.
Sweet. We did it. It is. That's awesome.
All right, next question. Sega-based question, and I do not know the answer to this. Which Castlevania game was ported to the Saturn?
I'm 99% sure on this one. I'm 99% sure that it's Rondo of Blood.
What? I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a Castlevania game called Rondo of Blood?
Well, now that you're asking me, like I said I was 99% certain, now that you're asking at me with that tone, I'm like 79% sure?
I mean, there's an NBA point guard named Rajon Rondo, and he's always out for blood, so maybe, you know, they were just... They saw the future and named it that?
As a sports ball enthusiast, such as I am, I could have thought of that man always out for blood, Mr. Rondo, and just kind of flipped it around and made that. But I'm
going to go with your answer. I believe in you.
I'm still pretty sure. Rondo of Blood.
Okay, let me see if I can actually flip the card this time and not mess it up. No, it's Symphony of the Night.
Symphony of the Night on Dreamcast?
On
Sega CD? On
Saturn.
Sega Saturn.
Dang it. And I wish I had answered the question simply because that's the most popular Castlevania, and so that's the one I would have gone with. Did anyone else know that in the chat?
Oh, Rondo of Blood. Rondo of Blood's on the PC Engine. That's why I was thinking of it. Yep. Okay, I know where I went wrong. There is a Castlevania Rondo of Blood. It's just for the PC Engine, not for the Sega Saturn. That's on me. I'm sorry. I led us astray. Well, at least thanks to your, you know, solving of the Hitman question, we are, you know, we're at least not completely.
That's okay. Yeah, that's okay. So we're 1-for-2. Let's do one more.
Spenis has one in the chat for us, if you like.
Oh, sure.
Sure. In Pokemon Red and Blue, which of the four Elite Four members did not have a duplicate Pokemon in their party?
This is all you. Because you're the one... you know what, Mac? I played Pokemon Red. I believe it was Red. But you are the one who was always like, yeah, I played that, and that was my main game when I was a kid. And so I think that I'm going to lean on you for this. I don't even remember the names of the Elite Four members.
Yeah... I don't... I feel like one of them was named Lance, and I think that was the last dude, because the last person you fight after you beat Lance is like the rival, right? You beat Gary. Who doesn't have a duplicate Pokemon? Okay, I can't give names. I have no idea on names. Oh, thank you, Spenis, thank you. So it's not Lance, I'm pretty sure. Lance was the last one. One of them begins and ends their set with the same Pokemon, and it really, really threw me for a loop. But I don't remember who it was.
This is like that show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where it's like, okay, now I know that triangles don't have four sides because tri doesn't mean four. You know, like, yeah. Listening to you talk through this question is brilliant.
Oh, Spenis, stop it.
Spenis coming with the hard stuff.
Yeah, Spenis is coming with the... I remember somebody had ended their scent with the same thing. Lance had dragons. Lance had dragons, and he was the end. Agatha, and I'm pretty sure it's not him. Bruno, Agatha, or Lorelei. I do love Bruno Mars, but I don't think it's Bruno. Dude, I think this is gonna be like a straight up just guess, okay? I'm going to follow the inspiration.
Just guess!
Okay, I'm going with Styx. And Styx, in this moment, Styx would say, Lorelei, let's live together. So
I have no idea what that was.
I will. You don't know Lorelei from
no.
from Styx? You don't no. know Styx?
No, I do not.
Okay. I was going Lorelei. C Lorelei is what I was going to.
Okay.
Do it. He said the answer is C. Bruno carried two Onix. Agatha had two Gengar. Right, Agatha! She began and ended her set with Gengar. Lance had two Dragonair. Lorelei carried Dugong, Cloyster, Slowbro, Jinx, and Lapras. Spenis, thanks for such a hard question, sir. I feel like I don't really deserve that, having just had to resort to straight up guessing.
Well, at least we got it right, right?
Yeah, I guess, but I feel somehow like I've cheapened it because I didn't quite get it. Should I just take the win?
Just take the W, and we'll get your question next time or another time, Ishmobile. Unless you want to answer it now, I say we move on.
Yeah,
because that's three questions.
Yeah, we'll keep it to three, but we also have a sound test.
Oh, nice!
You guys know the rules here. I've got a sound from sometime, some win, somewhere in video games. I'm going to play it, and you have to tweet at @2NerdsInAPod with the hashtag soundtest142. Identify the episode, obviously. And let us know what the sound is, and if you get it correctly, if you're the first one to correctly guess the game, you will receive a Perler handcrafted by me and sent to you. Good luck. You'll need it.
Have a very safe day.
All right, and that's been the sound test. Thanks for playing along. It's now time for a little bit of legalese. And I've got something for you all. I wanted to do this a couple of months ago, but various things came up, other legaleses. So here we are, we're going to do it live. A while back, you know, probably in January or so, we discussed CIG, the makers of Star Citizen, and Crytek. And back in 2017, which would have been around episode 30 or 40-ish of the podcast, we talked about it because that's when the suit started. As well as we talked about it earlier this year also. So, but just to recap, right? The suit's finally been settled, but just as a recap, CIG... they started making a game called Star Citizen, and as we mentioned back in episode 122, it was in Alpha 3.1 or what have you, and Crytek licensed to CIG their engine, their game engine, to build the game, and when the lawsuit started, they claimed, among other things, that they, CIG, had to pay Crytek more money because they were making two separate games, not just one. They were making a single-player game called Squadron 42 and a multiplayer version called Star Citizen. At which point, CIG responded with, "Hey guys, we aren't even using your engine anymore, okay? So, you know, chill out." To which Crytek said, "Hey, you're breaking contract. You're breaching contract since you're not making it with our video game engine." And so that's how the suit went. But back in episode 124, we talked about it again because things had heated up, and I shared a quote from the lawyers that I still think is delightful. At the end of January, Crytek asked to dismiss the lawsuit without prejudice, which gives them the ability to bring it back, the lawsuit back, whenever, because they were kind of doing this stalling tactic for judgment. And I said before this was the most thinly veiled frustration I had ever heard in a lawsuit. I've actually heard worse recently, but this is still one of my favorites, and I do have to share it again just for fun. The lawyer said, quote, "Crytek should not be allowed to aim its car at CIG's storefront window, stomp the accelerator, smash through, do donuts for years, then drive out and back away to maybe circle around and crash into CIG again another day." Which I just thought was glorious language in a legal filing. Anyway, the saga is now finally over.
Nice.
Crytek did not get their wish. And instead of receiving the case dismissed without prejudice, the whole thing has been settled. Obviously, the details of the settlement are not available for us to discuss because those settlements are done in private. But it's been an interesting ride, and I kind of felt like we all deserved a little bit of closure on that one. So, to any of you who are fans of CIG, the makers of Star Citizen, and the upcoming single-player version, Squadron 42, you can rest assured that Crytek is, at the very least, not going to keep coming for their pound of flesh in court. So, there's a little bit of legalese for you.
Fan-freaking-tastic. Mac knocks it out of the park with that research for that segment every single week. Don't say something humble now, Mac, or I will slap you. Mac, I will slap you. I will slap you through the computer. With love. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that has been our show, but before we go, we like to do one last segment called What We've Been Watching and What We've Been Playing, where we talk about just that, the cool nerdy stuff we've been into on Netflix, YouTube, Hulu, on our consoles, on our phones, on our tablets, all that good stuff. If you're here live, you have a job to do. Let us know in the chat what you have been watching and playing. And Mac, do you want to lead off today with what you've been doing?
Sure. I've been watching DuckTales. There is a new DuckTales has a delightful episode called what is it? The Rumble for Ragnarok, where basically everybody's wrestling, like pro wrestling in it, and it's really quite fun. And I believe it's Huey who has this moment who's like, "Wait a minute. Am I the launch pad here?" Because he doesn't understand wrestling. And also the closing song, the closing credits song to it, I swear is performed by the lead singer of Ninja Sex Party, Danny Sexbang. And it's not actually, but whoever's doing it has a spot on impression for sure. Anyway, so yeah, that's good. We're also watching The Office, going to be watching Last Airbender soon, and What We Do in the Shadows. Fantastic, fantastic shows. As for playing, all I've really had time to play lately have been Kickstarter demos and Halo Chief Master Collection with my good friend Dan. So yeah. Been excited for that. Although Halo 2 on PC for the Master Chief Collection has been a little glitchy, I won't lie. But what about you, Mr. Nice Guy? What have you been up to?
Oh, what have I been into? Well, like I said, I played like 5 minutes of The Last of Us before I had to turn that bad boy off. Hopefully I can find the guts to get through it before the 19th when The Last of Us Part 2 comes out. But what else have I been playing? Lots of Teamfight Tactics, as always. I did start Minecraft Dungeons. And it's okay. Like, I like dungeon crawlers, Mac. I like Gauntlet Legends. That's one of my favorite N64 games of all time. And so I'm always looking for... Food is good. I love when they'd say that. But I've always been looking for something to, like, catch the lightning in a bottle that Gauntlet Legends did for me. And it's not there, but it's okay. I mean, it's a really well-made game. And I think that if you can get into it with, like, four friends, I think you'd have a blast. But put a couple hours into that, and that was mostly it. Now, as far as what I have been watching, watched some Psych with the wife last night. And
hey,
I know,
Mr.
That
nice
you
guy,
know
that I don't have any proof.
That you don't have any proof.
Wait a minute. Isn't it?
It's that I'm telling the truth.
That I'm just, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I messed it up.
That you know that I'm not telling the truth. That's the song for Psych. Whenever I see shows like that, where it's just like a bromance of two people who are, one is black, one is white, I'm like, why do Mac and I not have a show?
Yeah, we'd have a fantastic show. It'd be great. JD and Turk.
Psh. That's exactly it. Yeah, Scrubs. They had that bromance going on. Anyway, I've been into a lot of stuff, but that's been most of it. Mac, what are people in the chat into, man?
All right. Well, let's see. I'll hit watching, starting with Spenis, The Office. Let's see. Galvatron's watching Triple Frontier on Netflix. We've got some Star Wars episodes 1 and 3 from Ish Mobile. Once Upon a Time. Nerd Next Door is watching Once Upon a Time, and it is terrible. In season 3, as I understand it. Let's see. What else are we watching? That's what I see for watching. Most of what I see is actually playing. So you want to take this?
All right, I will dive right in. So Spenis says he's been playing MLB The Show, The Last of Us. He just finished the main game, halfway through Left Behind DLC. Power Rangers Battle Off the Grid. He's almost done with that. Metz Girl has been playing some Overwatch. Metz Girl, what console are you playing that on? Or are you playing it on PC? I've got to know. Uncle Ruckus is playing Satisfactory and Bob's Burgers. I think he meant he's watching Bob's Burgers, right? Mm.
Yeah, and Metz Girl's watching Avatar The Last Airbender. Sorry I missed that one.
That's all right. Ralph is watching... Whoops, that's watching. That's you. Slay the Spire is a game he's playing, and Crusader Kings 2. Ruckus is into Apex Legends, and Ishmael playing Ghost of a Tale and GURPS After the End, which is the game we're all playing together. Spenis says he has Minecraft Dungeons on Game Pass but has not started. Hit me up, Spenis. We can play. And he's playing golf with friends as well. Man, so much stuff in here, y'all. Galvatron, Slay the Spire, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Red Dead Redemption 2, Life is Strange, and The Outer Worlds, which is absolutely amazing. I agree. I loved that game. And is that it, Mac?
Turns out Metz Girl's playing Overwatch on PC.
You have to let me know how it is on PC. I'm sure it's great. That has been our show. Do you want to take us away, though? I brought us in.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. But more importantly, it's just nice to be able to share something nerdy with you and have you share the nerdy things going on in your life with us. Y'all are fantastic. You're the best viewers on Twitch. You're the best listeners on Spotify. You're the best listeners on everything. And above all, you're some of the best people ever. Be great to each other, love each other, look out for each other, and we look forward to seeing you when we see you next Tuesday.
Right.
9 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Mountain Time. In the meantime, keep it nerdy.
Bye.